Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus asks for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. And for those of you that want a copy of the messages, they are 75 cents per dozen. And if you want to write in this request, write to the Church of Christ Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ with the Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get anyone at the 1-800 number, you can call area code 816-252-2343. That is area code 816-252-2343. The fax number is area code 816-252-0143. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, once again, we gather together and assemble again this day to acknowledge that you are the all-knowing God and knowing that all revelation comes from thee. And dear Lord, we come to acknowledge and accept that, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. So, Lord God, see us in our need and bless us by your spirit by endowing us with understanding of this lesson as we go in today. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Tonight we are on the third and final part of this series. That is titled, What is the Word of Wisdom Joseph Smith Claimed? Amen. And hallelujah. Some of you, as I've been doing this series, might be saying, you know, what's the purpose of this? Well, not only is the purpose, you know, to expose that which is evil that tries to connect itself to the work of restitution, restoration of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also to help you, the listener, to examine things more. Because we're living in a time where that you have many people coming with a thus says the Lord, okay? You have somewhat whoever is saying, oh, I got a word from the Lord for you, you know? You know, you finding in our day and time, more people coming out of the woodwork talking about, I got a word from the Lord for you. And this is a time that the Lord used Apostle Paul to tell us that this is an evil day, an evil time, where you having many people, and I'm not saying all of them is wrong, but you having a lot of people who is not right, you know, in what they're giving, but they're putting the Lord's name to it and say, I got a word from the Lord for you. And there are people out there who won't study the word for themselves, won't get to know Christ for themselves. So they, quote, depend on these people that come out saying, I got a word from the Lord for me. And see, the devil knows as well as these people that the people they telling to, that many of them is not going to check behind. Because the only thing they have to hear is that it is from the Lord. Amen. Now, this is the third and final part, as I said, and for those of you that are first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcasts. So I want to encourage you, after you hear this part, go back and listen to part one and two. When you look on the Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast page, it has a list of our broadcasts. You can scroll down, you know, and see the list of the past broadcasts. And then I think it also at the bottom have these numbers at the bottom, like 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, see, that's just listing of other broadcasts, okay? And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to part one and part two of this series, because when you come in the middle or end of a series, it's hard to grasp the overall point that's being made. You know, I say this to people. I give them an example like Sunday school. You have many people, you know, some won't come to Sunday school. And when they do come to Sunday school, they come in so late, it's pitiful. Some of them come where right in the middle of Sunday school. Some of them come towards the tail end. And so when they catch in the tail end or the middle and something being said, they're sitting there with frowns on their face. And then they're looking all over the room like, what is he or she talking about? You know, and then just hearing that part, they like, no, that ain't right. But not being there for the full service is what hurts them. And to me, I want to say this as I get ready to go on to interview. If you're really interested in the Word of God, like you say, and learning it, then you would do your best to be at Sunday school on time. Now, I know that some of you, by me saying that, you just start shaking. But I'm going to tell you something. If we can go to work on time and put in a lot of hours on time, and many of us, you talk to our supervisor and stuff on the job, they say, hey, he rarely misses work. He's dependable. He come all the time. But see, we can't say that about you concerning coming to Sunday school or coming to service period. So we got our priorities backwards. So I say this to you, if you're really interested in learning the Word of God, and come to acknowledge that not only God will teach you his word at your house, but God is balanced, which means he will also teach you his word while you in Sunday school, because Sunday school is the time of learning. Amen. Now, having said this, just to do a small recap as we go forward, the title of this, once again, what is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed? And you hear, if you approach the Mormons today, they would say, yeah, he got this word of wisdom from the Lord. Okay. And we looked at what this word of wisdom that Joseph Smith laid claim to, that he got from God, what really, let me see the phrase I can use, got the ball rolling to finding this out is, you know, he had this, what is called school of prophets, where him and the other men would meet and they would, you know, quote, talk about the things of God. And there was, I think, teaching and stuff going on. And what happened was whenever they gathered, the men would start smoking cigars and cigarettes and stuff. And from what I understand, had the room full of smoke. And even with Joseph Smith getting ready to speak, you know, he got all this smoke up there. And then, to say the least, some of them were chewing tobacco, and they were just spitting it out on the floor, okay? So his wife, Emma, who I think normally cleans up after they had the meeting, she find herself cleaning up tobacco spit on the floor. Well, she, you know, talked to Joseph about it, and hey, Joseph was concerned about it. He wanted to know, was it okay for the men to be smoking and things of that nature? So from what I understand, he supposed to have went and sought God about it, and the Lord Jesus Christ supposed to have after him with this called word of wisdom. And in this word of wisdom, he laid claim that Jesus told him the things that was good for the body and things that was harmful. And one of the things that were mentioned was hard liquor, That was one of the things that were mentioned that was harmful to the body. And so in parts one and two, I went through that with you guys, and I, you know, just said to you that, hey, go back and listen to part one and two, okay, as we, because we're getting ready to go forward here. Amen. Now, here's the other thing that I've seen concerning this word of wisdom that Joseph Smith laid claim that he got from God. You know, the Mormons, they hold Joseph Smith so high, they hold him really higher than Jesus. Now, some of you may say, okay, now, Brother Nate, you just got far-fetched. No, it's the truth. Because when many times when they go to witnessing to you, you will hear many times more Joseph Smith name than you do Jesus Christ. And see, that's one of the things that Joseph Smith in his failings came across, because he saw that the people was looking at him not just as a brother, quote, but they was putting him up so high like he was God. And so, of course, the spirit of pride was there with him, okay? When he's seeing this, this is why as born-again believers, you have to be careful that even with God using you, you got to be careful that you don't take in the praise of man. Because man would get to a point and say, oh, you're so awesome. You're so this and that, you know. And then you start taking in that, then all of a sudden, boom. You know, you got the big head. You know, just like through the years, I have watched different conferences on TV. Where they finna get ready to have the main speaker speak. I'm talking about church conferences. And through the years, I noticed that the one that gets up to announce the one that's finna get ready to preach, I would listen to the adjectives coming from their mouth. You know, like one guy I remember when he would announce, I think, T.D. Jakes. And he would get up there and say, the dynamic, the outstanding. I'm like, what is this? Why are you coming out with these kind of adjectives? Like, how come you just say, well, I love this brother. I thank God for this brother, Brother T.D. Jakes. No, he wouldn't say that. He had to add all these kind of adjectives in there. And I'm like, well, what is this? Is you that crazy about the man? Anyhow, this word of wisdom. Like I said, the Mormons hold Joseph Smith real high. And even, and one of the things you know about the Mormons, that they changed some stuff that their, quote, early leaders had said they got from God. They changed it. But you don't hear them coming with a public apology to the people about it. You don't hear, in other words, you don't hear them come and say, hey, our prophet Joseph Smith was wrong, or our prophet Brigham Young was wrong. No. They don't want too much talk about it. Now, this word of wisdom that Joseph Smith had claimed he got from God, he also called it a revelation. A revelation. That means something that God revealed to him. Now, here's the reason why I'm stressing on that. On one of their websites, that is titled Word of Wisdom, Changes Implemented Over Time. Did you hear that title? Word of Wisdom, Changes Implemented Over Time. This is on the Fair Latter-day Saints website, www.fairlatterdaysaints.org, okay? And once again, it is titled Word of Wisdom, Changes Implemented Over Time. And they got here in the writing, they said, observance of the word of wisdom has changed over time due to ongoing revelation from modern day prophets who put greater emphasis on certain elements. Now, if this thing really at first came from the Lord and it's a revelation, what gives us anyone the right to implement changes? You know, Now, when you click on this site, changes in the way the word of wisdom was implemented over time, it says here, and this coming from their book, Doctrine and Covenants, I guess this is chapter 89, the word of wisdom. It said, nevertheless, it required time to wind down practices that were so deeply ingrained in family tradition and culture, especially when fermented beverages of all kinds were frequently used for medicinal purposes. The term strong drink, because he was saying that the Lord said to him in this word of wisdom, talk about strong drink. The term strong drink certainly included distilled spirits like whiskey, which hereafter the Latter-day Saints generally shunned. They took a more, now listen to this, moderate approach to milder alcoholic beverages like beer and pure wine of the grape or the vine of your own mate. For the next two generations, Latter-day Saints leaders taught the word of wisdom as a command from God, but they tolerated a variety of viewpoints on how strictly the commandment should be observed. Now, how is that? If this from God, if God has given you a revelation and tell you, say, this thing is bad for you, then, and you said that it was a commandment also given from God to refrain from these things, what is we doing looking at it and see how strictly should the commandment be? If it's a command from God, it's a command from God, right? If God said, thou shalt not steal, which he said, and we look at it and go, I wonder, do we really need to be strict in keeping that command? What kind of sense do that make? You understand that? It goes on to say, this incubation period gave the saints time to develop their own tradition of abstinence from habit-forming substances. By the early 20th century, when scientific medicine were more widely available and temple attendance had become a more regular feature of the latter-day worship, the church was ready to accept a more exacting standard of observance that would eliminate problems like alcoholism from among the obedient. In 1921, the Lord-inspired church president Heber J. Grant to call on all saints to live the word of wisdom to the letter by completely abstaining from all alcohol, coffee, tea, and tobacco. Today, church members are expected to live this higher standard. Now, I shared with you guys in part two how that even one of their own members, and I think he was in the ministry, had testified that, for example, Joseph Smith would preach the word of wisdom and then turn around and ride through the streets puffing on a cigar. And talking about he was doing that to test the people. Well, first of all, who gave you that right to do that? Okay. What? Listen, if you got this thing from God and it's a revelation and a commandment, you need to abide by it, set it before the people, and you abide by it as well. What are you doing going through the streets puffing on a cigar that you just said that God gave this word of wisdom and said this is not good for you? And then on top of this, as I read to you guys, they talking about if you don't keep this thing, you can't be in the temple. And see, another thing they greatly exalt is this temple. They greatly exalt that building, that temple. Okay? Now, here's the thing I want to say on this that we must understand and make very clear. And I want to start with, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Now, Revelation chapter 22 in your Bibles here. And thank you, Jesus. I'm going to look at two or three scriptures on this right here. One from the Bible, one from the Word of the Lord, and one from the Record of Nephi on this particular thing. Because to me, and this is what we got to understand, if it's a revelation from God, present it like God gave it and don't touch it. Okay? Don't see, okay, how should we strictly observe this command and do it. No, don't go there. If you know God has told you, say, hey, this is not good for you, or if you know that God said this is a command that I'm telling you not to do something like that, quit sitting there trying to go, well, let's see, do we really need to be strictly in keeping this thing, or should we have a little tolerance? Do y'all actually hear that? Okay. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, look, this is what the word of God said. He said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now here, John the Revelator is telling you how important it is that, hey, however God presented, let it be. Don't add, don't take away, okay? And with the Mormons through the years, they are saying, you know, well, it didn't include beer. And then they said, okay, you know, let's see, do we need to be to observe this thing strictly or not? Even though you just said, you admitted it was a command, okay? If it's a command from God, you think God sit up here wasting his words, giving commands, just wait, just out of the blue, just say something for us to look at and go, let me see. Let me observe. Do I need to really, really, really keep this command, or can I give a little leeway? You hear that? And if you listen to what I read that they said, see, it was all about what they think and feel, not so much as about what God revealed. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things that God tell us. We don't always pick up the understanding all the time. But what's wrong with us going back to him and say, Lord, I ain't quite getting at what you're telling me. You got to help me understand. They're coming up with our own solutions. And many times in Christianity, we have messed up ourselves doing something like that. But here, John the Revelator said, now, if you add to the prophecy of this book, God shall add unto you plagues. If you take away, okay, God should take away, he said, his part out of the book of life. So John is stressing the importance on you don't play with God's word. And you don't sit there and try to, like, examine whether you should really observe to keep this command. Hallelujah. Because, see, you will get to a point, God say something, you go, well, I really don't have to just be, you know, real strict on keeping this. You know, I think I can do a little leeway, a little cheating here and there. No. And this is supposed to be a revelation from God. Present it as God give it and don't touch it. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to the record. I'm going to give you a scripture from the record of Nephi. 3 Nephi, chapter 11. 3 Nephi, chapter 11. We're going to go and look at verse 40. Now, I, like I said, I'm telling you why I'm giving you this, because one of the things, too, that I've seen that the Mormons will do, they'll change some stuff, okay? And their changes, now they say these changes to the word of wisdom came from ongoing revelation to the modern-day prophet. Now, if it's the same God that gave revelation to Joseph Smith, you mean he giving revelation to his, quote, modern-day prophets in the Mormon church to cause some changes to come to the word of wisdom? I mean, or some changes in, you know, from what I've seen, I guess the earlier Latter-day Saints took this as saying being moderate, even though God speak about hard liquor or, you know, strong drink. They start, well, he tells us to be moderate. Don't overdo it. Now they went to, they came up with now. When you read, it'll tell you that they come with there is no glory really given to God. They come with, oh, okay, now it means abstinence. In 3 Nephi chapter 11, verse 40, it said, whoso shall declare more or less than this and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but he built upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standing open to receive such when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. Now, Jesus was giving his word and his doctrine. And he said, whoso shall declare more or less than this, just like John the Revelator said, and establish it for my doctrine. Okay? He said, the same coming of evil. Amen. You know, when God tells you that something is not good for you, or he giving the command not to do this, okay, what gives you the right to say, well, as long as we do this thing in moderation? I read to you what the Lord said on that subject in the Article of Faith and Practice, the men that he inspired to write some things that the church needs to stand on as well. The true born again believers stand up on as well. And the Lord did mention liquor, okay, narcotics, having to mention that, to abstain from. But he didn't mention tea and coffee. And that's amazing to me that if this thing was not, quote, good for the saints, that he's supposed to have told Joseph Smith, then it's amazing that he didn't move upon the men on the temple lot to say the same thing, to even mention tea or coffee, to even hint on it. And he didn't, okay? So that makes the whole thing even the more, what Joseph Smith claims, questionable. Amen. It makes the whole thing questionable. Now, I want to come with a scripture with you from the Word of the Lord here. And it is the 24th message, the 24th time that the Lord Jesus Christ sent his angel messenger. And the Lord decided November the 30th, 1930, to send his angel with a message. And looking at the, it has 17 verses in it. And the verse next to the last one, which is verse 16, I want to read to you what the Lord had given his angel to tell the people of God. He said, and to you, my fellow servant, whom the Lord has chosen and whose burdens are heavy, remember the Lord is your strength. In humility, write your letters and give advice to them, as the Lord has given it to you. Remember many instructions I have brought to you that you have not been required to write, but which has filled your soul with joy and your mind with light, and has strengthened your faith. Let others carry the message I have brought to the children of men, but save your strength. The Lord will direct you from time to time. Send out no more of the 23rd message, okay, until the correction has been made. For all things must be delivered as I gave them to you. Now notice he said, all things must be delivered as they was given, okay? So when God gives you a revelation about, or with a command in that revelation to stop doing something or something is harmful for you, okay, don't take it and say, well, let us take a look at it. Do we need to do this thing moderately or in moderation? Maybe he's talking about moderation. We believe he's talking about moderation. And then don't do that. Don't do that. Take it as he gave it. If he gave it to you as a command to not do something, then guess what? Not do something. That's what you do. I mean, you know. My God. Well, he goes on to say, now listen to this. Do also with this message as you did with the 22, that every word may be correct. Now listen to this last sentence. He said, let no man add to it nor take from it, for this is the word of the Lord. You hear that? So however God give it, God said don't add to it, don't take away from it. Okay? Now, Joseph Smith laid claim that this was a revelation given to him by God. So it shouldn't have been looked at as saying, and you know, they had it, well, he said, coffee and tea, hot drinks. He said, this hard liquor, we think that it don't count beer and all this stuff. Well, you know, you can get drunk off beer. Yeah. Hallelujah. So you need to be, I mean, bottom line is this, people. And this is what many of us as Christians have gotten in trouble. However God give it to you, that's how you deliver it. That's how you deliver it. Now, I can see why some of the people was looking at it saying, well, let's examine this to see that we need to really strictly keep this commandment because they wanted to do it. Do what, Brother Nate? Puff the old cigar. Spit out the chewing tobacco. Okay? So they said, oh, let's analyze it. See, we need to really strictly keep this thing. Because why? And then that's when they came up with that first, he's talking about moderation. And notice that they didn't say anything about, okay, let's seek the Lord about this. Do he's talking about, you know, abstinence or moderation. But here's the other thing too, people. Many times the answer is right there before you as he told it. Okay. Hallelujah. And one of the problems I've seen with people is that when they want to do that thing bad enough, they make things harder than what it is. You get what I'm saying? They make it harder what it is. So they, well, we need to ask the Lord, do he want us to really, really keep this thing? Do he want us to be strict on this? Do he want us to be abstinent? Or is he talking about moderation? And from what I understand, from what they were saying here, that a certain part of the Mormons, they looked at it as being moderation. Then later years, they start expressing abstinence. Okay? And it seemed like some things that, quote, is said God revealed, now when the Mormons go to changing it, they're talking about, too, well, God revealed us that this should be changed. Okay, but, okay, so I don't hear you saying, hey, our leader that proposed other things, God said he missed and he was wrong. Like I told you, they're not going to speak against the Joseph Smiths and the Brigham Youngs. Now, they will speak against David Whitmer, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, okay? Because these three men who started out in dealing with Joseph in when the translation of the Record of Nephi, when they saw Joseph Smith getting off track, they called him out. They saw he was getting in his pride, getting big-headed, you name it, coming with false revelations. And they called him out. And the Church of Latter-day Saints had a problem with them because these folks looked at Joseph Smith as a god. Amen. Now, it's one more thing I want to say on this thing here. That we need to really look at closely on how things are worded that we don't get confused. You said, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, Joseph Smith and the Latter-day Saints, what they call this revelation that came to Joseph Smith, they call it word of wisdom. Now, the word of God speaks of, quote, three types of wisdom. And I want to mention one of them today is because the way it is worded. And the way it is worded and the way they said that this that came to Joseph Smith is worded, it's like the same wording. And we don't want to get this confused, okay? Now, I'm still in the word of the Lord here, and I want to read from what is called the Articles of Faith and Practice that the Lord inspired these men to write. And I want to read number 7. I told you it's 25 things the Lord had inspired the men on the temple lot to write for the church to stand on. And here's one of them. Here's number 7. I want to read this, and I'm reading it for a reason. This is what it said. It said, we believe in the powers and gifts of the everlasting gospel, viz., the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now, notice I mentioned what he said here, the word of wisdom. This is connected to one of the gifts of the everlasting gospel. Okay, one of the gifts, okay, called the word of wisdom. Now, the other two wisdoms, like, for example, the word of God mentions the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world is more confined to man's own learning, okay, their own counsel that they depend on to conduct themselves in this affairs of life. Then the other wisdom is called the wisdom of God or godly wisdom. That means, once again, that that's wisdom that comes from God, and it comes from receiving the counsel of God on how to live or conduct yourself in the affairs of this life. Okay? But this, what I'm reading here, is called the word of wisdom. And it is one of the gifts of the everlasting gospel, or also the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I want to go to the Nephi record here because we're coming to the Bible in a minute. And in the record of Nephi, the book of Moroni, chapter 10, the last chapter in the record of Nephi. Hallelujah. And I want to read to you verse 8 and 9, okay, in Moroni chapter 10. And the word of God says, and again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God. Now listen to the gifts of God. But they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, okay? Different ways that they are ministered. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. Okay? And that word profit don't mean cha-ching. You ain't talking about cha-ching, but be of service, to be a help. Okay? Verse 9, he said, for behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that they may teach the word of wisdom. So the word of wisdom is connected to the gift of God through his Spirit. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to the living God. Thank you, Jesus. First, glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Amen. Thank God for the word of God, power of the Holy Ghost. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, notice once again, the word of wisdom is connected to the gift of the Spirit, and it's called the word of wisdom, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? And see, Joseph Smith and the Mormons claimed that he got the word of wisdom. Well, that's why we got to be careful how some things are phrased, because it can cause confusion. The Bible does mention the word of wisdom, but this word of wisdom is mentioned in connection to the gifts of the Spirit. Now, why is it called the word of wisdom? You see, in that same verse, it mentions the word of knowledge, because a word is a fragmented part of a sentence. Now, we know God has all knowledge and all wisdom, but he only gives that part through this gift of the Spirit. And it has revelation. It reveals something. You understand that? Hallelujah. Like the word of knowledge is a word that God gives concerning the present or past about a person, place, or thing. It has revelation in it, okay? Amen. But notice that it said, for to one is given. So that means that everyone in the body of Christ is not operating in this gift, okay? These gifts are given along with the call that you're called into, okay? Amen. You know, like, for example, in the Bible, remember the evangelist Philip. And Philip, he did what? Healings. He had the gift of healings in his ministry. He was an evangelist. When these gifts are given to your ministry, it carries a stronger anointing, and it's more continuous with you than with other believers. In other words, God could use other believers in this gift, but when it's given to you, okay, it's going to carry a great anointing, and it's going to be more continuous with you than it will be with many other believers. That's when it's given to you in your ministry, in your call. Now, in the ministry God has called me into, one gift that I've seen that had operated in the ministry with me that God has called me to, that I've seen on one occasion, was the word of knowledge. I laid hands on somebody that I was praying for them, and I prayed the exact words that they prayed in their prayer. And so after the service, this person come to me and said, "Brother Nate, I know God gave you that because you prayed exactly what I prayed. You said those same words." And see, I didn't know that, okay? That was given to me by the Holy Ghost. It was a word of knowledge. But see, the word of wisdom is also revelation, and it reveals the plan and purpose of God concerning the future, you know, like prophecy, okay? But prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy, only, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the simple gift of prophecy by itself only what? Edifies, okay, exhorts, you know, call a person closer to God, exhort, you know, and, you know, comfort. But along with the word of wisdom, prophecy can be a vehicle to where, for example, when someone under the inspiration of the Spirit say, "Thus says the Lord." Now, that's prophecy, but the message could be revealing something for the future that will be the word of wisdom. What we have to understand is that many of these gifts, they will flow together. Like the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom many times flow together, okay? Because one may be used by God to give a word of knowledge, and they'll flow into a word of wisdom, okay? Revealing the future plan. Now, hopefully at another time, we would talk about this a little bit more. But I wanted to, you know, just kind of give you that to understand that, you know, when people, "Oh, the word of wisdom." Okay. Yeah. God may give you, and it may be classified in a sense as a word of wisdom. He may give you a word of wisdom by some particular, I understand that. But I brought this out to show you that the word of God actually phrases a gift of the Spirit called the word of wisdom. Okay. Amen. That points to the future, revealing the plan and purpose of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Bohandabashi. You know, just like with Saul, you know, God told Ananias, he gave him a word of knowledge first and told him that Saul at that time was praying. This is in the book of Acts. And he told him how Paul had seen in the vision a man come and lay hands on him. That's still a word of knowledge. And then God going to tell him, said, and I will show him great things he will suffer for my name's sake. And that's point to the future thing. That was a word of wisdom, okay? Because it points to the future, revealing the plan and purpose of God, that God revealed that how that, hey, he must go through. And once again, that suffering is not sickness and disease, but the hardships that he would encounter because of him carrying the gospel, okay? Amen. So we thank God for the blessed word of God this day in Jesus' name. And the Lord is greatly to be praised. And I you know, once again, people, listen. We really have to check things because, like I said, you know, Joseph Smith at one time was a man of God, was used of God, okay? But he fell into error. He fell into error. And one thing that we have to look at to be of God is the good that was given to him. But the failure side, we have to call it out, people. We have to call it out. In the Church of Christ Lies and Mental, we got to call it out. Because remember, this is a man that's connected, quote, connected to the work of restoration. Okay? But in his failures, he started what was called Mormonism, which is not of God. And so you have the Mormon people who claiming to be of the restoration. First, they got to become born again, okay? You know, first things first, people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, for this day you've made and created, this opportunity you've given us to go into the word of God. And Father, I pray that all that listen to this broadcast have been blessed. And I pray that I have delivered it for your glory. So, Lord God, I lift you up and I praise you and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, it's Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.